Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations on our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon is based off the gospel reading from John that we just heard. The Pharisees were not always wrong about Jesus. There were some things they actually got right concerning the Son of God. When Jesus came into Jerusalem riding upon the beast of burden, it made for a magnificent scene, with crowds running out to meet their king with palm branches, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." When the Pharisees, the religious hotshots of Israel, see the majestic entrance of Jesus, they turn to one another, and this is what they say. Verse 19 of John's Gospel in verse chapter 12. "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The world was going after Jesus. The ministry of our Lord, which was targeting the lost sheep of Israel, had expanded beyond the borders of Israel. For in today's gospel reading, we find that now Greeks are coming to Jerusalem to worship, not just because the Passover feast was taking place, but as the text says, they wanted to see Jesus. When Philip and Andrew go to Jesus and tell him the request of the Greeks, this is how Jesus responds. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. For the Jew, for the Greek, for the entire world, for all men, Jesus would be glorified. That is to say, as a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies in order to bear much fruit, Jesus would fall and die in order to bear fruit for the entire world. He will be glorified when he is raised up to die on a cross, and this atoning work will bear fruit for all nations to feast upon. Fruits of forgiveness, fruits of salvation, fruits of eternal life, all free to be consumed by faith alone." This is the message. Jesus will be glorified when he is lifted up to die in an agonizing crucifixion. Now let it be known that his statement to the crowds that the Son of Man must be lifted up does not go unnoticed. They understand that when Jesus says that, he is foretelling his death, because they point out to Jesus what they've heard in the Old Testament scriptures. They say this, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Such a statement reveals a misunderstanding on the part of the crowds. The Son of Man was in front of them. Jesus, the Son of God, was standing in their midst. And they are right when they say the Christ remains forever, as the scriptures declare. The kingdom of God does rule forever, only to establish that everlasting kingdom, a kingdom ruling over sin, and the ruler of this world, death, would have to occur. Jesus would willingly die to establish his everlasting kingdom. Blood would pour out of our Savior's side in death by crucifixion in order to atone for sins, your sins, my sins, the sins of creation. By this atoning work, and then rising in victory on Easter morning, death has been overcome. And friends, as Jesus lives forever, as the Christ lives forever, the believer is promised to live forever. Fantastic news. Great news to all of us burdened by sins, burdened by worldly afflictions. And yet, as great as this news was, there were people in today's gospel reading who didn't buy it. There were those who doubted and did not believe in the testimony of Jesus because of the darkness of their hardened hearts, hearts hardened by the sin of unbelief. By this point in John's gospel, Jesus had done many miracles. He had taught the crowds many things. Even still, There were those in his presence who doubted and did not believe the word of the Lord. Jesus' words to them should also be a warning for the Christian when our Lord says this: "The light is among you a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. Walk while you have the light, Christians. Believe in the one whom God has sent. Time is short for all of us. You never know when this day will be your last. You never know when your soul will be required of you from your Lord." Confirmants, today's your day, isn't it? You've worked hard the last 2 years, studying God's holy word, learning the chief articles of the Christian faith, memorizing scripture, memorizing Luther's catechism, which contains those chief articles of the faith. You've proven to us your sound understanding of the doctrine and practice of God's holy church. Now, I realize confirmation wasn't always easy. Not that you were ever vocal about it or anything, but I realize probably at times you gritted your teeth as you were struggling to memorize that particular scripture passage or portion in Luther's catechism. I'm also going to assume that at least at one point in your tenure as a catechumen, you asked yourself the question, why is confirmation necessary? Why do I have to do all this work for the church? The answer to those questions is what our Lord tells us in today's gospel reading. There is darkness in this world that does not want you to remain a child of the light. It is a tragic, sad, but very true fact. Despite education and God's holy word, brothers and sisters, not every confirmand remains in the faith. There were four in my confirmation class. To this day, I only know of one beside myself who is still a Christian. Please hear the word of your Lord and Savior. Walk in the light, lest the darkness overtakes you. Hold on to what you have been taught. Let this day be not an end, but a continuation of your study and learning in God's holy word. Hold on to the chief articles of the faith. Keep Luther's catechism floating around in your mind. Stay in the scriptures. Stay in the teaching of the church that has been handed down to you, so that when the darkness comes, and it will, you can stand tall on the immovable rock of Christ with the armor God gives his people. Friends, this message, it's not just for the confirmants. It's for all of us. All of us need to walk while we have the light, lest the darkness overtakes us. Not only was this statement a wake-up call for the doubters and skeptics and unbelievers in the presence of Jesus, not buying into his testimony that he is the Son of God, it is a warning for the Christian. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. Just as darkness can keep the unbeliever from coming into the light of Christ, the dark forces of evil are capable of grabbing and dragging the staggering Christian away from the light of Jesus and into the dark pits of hell. The darkness of sin, the darkness of our flesh, the darkness of our minds, the darkness of idols, money, power, pride, possessions, depression, panic, busyness, striving for earthly glory. In all these things, there is darkness, friends, that is capable. It is capable of dragging the Christian away from Christ, away from the faith, away from all the promises that are richly yours in Jesus. In this world, you probably don't need to hear it from me, but there is a multitude of things trying to divert our attention from the light of Jesus. There is a multitude of idols, false gods, yelling into our ears, telling us to step into the darkness, get out of the light, come into the darkness and revel in the glory of men. Now, why do I bring that up? In the last verse of today's gospel reading, we see people who liked the glory of man. more so than the glory that comes from God. Friends, it is the darkness of evil that tells us to abandon the glory of God, because the glory of man has something more to offer. Beware of the darkness that says to you, the glory of man is worth striving for, not the glory of God. Beware of the darkness that says your Christian life isn't really worth living. Watch out, friends, for the darkness that says to you, your life's not going to get any better. Therefore, what's the point in following Jesus? Our dear Lord and Savior warns us of the darkness. Walk in the light, friends. Stay in the light. Believe in the one whom he has sent. Believe in your Lord and Savior glorified for you. In Jesus, we see him glorified when he is crucified on the cross, nails in his hands and his feet. Not exactly what you think of when you hear the phrase godly glory, right? But friends, godly glory is not yours only when you have an overflowing bank account or you feel as if you're in peak physical condition. The glory of God is not the same as the glory that comes from the world when it puts you up on a pedestal and everything falls neatly into place. Honor from God, true godly honor and glory, the honor and glory that the world cannot give, comes to you, friends, by following Jesus. It is yours on account of faith in his only begotten Son, and that is honor. That is glory. All of us should seek. No, it does not always make for a smooth earthly existence. Our Lord is clear on this point in today's text and elsewhere in Scripture when Jesus says this. Our Lord says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Loving your life, in other words, chasing after idols, earthly riches, earthly glories, instead of following and believing in your Savior Jesus Christ at all cost, will result in the loss of your life physically and spiritually. Chasing the idols of man for earthly glory is very different from the true godly honor and glory that is yours by believing in your Savior Jesus Christ. When the storms of life hit you and you feel as if your whole world is falling apart and you feel as if your life is being taken away from you, friends, remember your Savior. Remember your Savior Jesus glorified for you, a glory that is yours to behold by faith in him and what he has done for you. Know that your Savior came to save you. What we're celebrating, especially this Holy Week. And he has done so by shedding his blood on a cross to make satisfaction to God for your sins, all of them, big and small, all of them taken care of by the blood of Jesus. And in doing that, friends, by faith in these glorious promises, you have been brought out of the darkness of death into the light of forgiveness, the light of salvation. That, friends, is godly glory that nothing in this world compares to. It is glory yours through Jesus. Furthermore, there's even more. Not only does the glorious death and resurrection of Jesus atone for sin, but by what our Lord has done, the ruler of this world is cast out. Jesus promises this when he says, now, not later, now, the ruler of this world will be cast out. The devil has been cast out by the death of Jesus. The devil cannot overcome the light of Christ. The ruler of this world cannot take away the sheep from the flock of Jesus Christ. I say not even death can overcome the one who has been made alive to God by Jesus Christ. This is glory, friends. This is true godly glory the world cannot give, and it is yours in Jesus Christ. Right now, by faith grabbing hold of these promises, the glory of forgiveness, the glory of salvation, the glory of eternal life, this is yours on account of the one who has made it yours in his glorious death and resurrection, your Savior, Jesus. Stay in the light. Walk in the light, knowing with confidence the words and promises of God declare that in Christ, the darkness has been defeated. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.